Today, we want to start a two-part series. It's called How to Get Along with People. How to Get Along with People. You know, some people came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? In those days, religious people would discuss hundreds of Old Testament laws, and they would try to put them in order and priority. And Jesus was into making things simple. I really love that about Jesus. He says, you know what? We can wrap up all of the hundreds of laws just in two things. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we could just realize life in all its complexity is about loving God and loving people. Of course, how many know just saying loving people is a lot easier than actually loving people? I love the title of a book by John Ortberg I read a few years ago. And the title was, Everyone's Normal Until You Get to Know Them. Everyone's normal till you get to know them. Have you ever been shopping and you walk into a shop and there's a little pile of stuff at the front and it just has a sign that says, as is? As is. How many know if it's got an as is, then you know it's not perfect? Okay, come on, work with me. Yeah, it's something I don't know here. But when it says as is, you know it's not perfect. Something's missing. Something's broken, something's not working properly, it's kind of as is. You know, when you think about all your relationships, all the people in your world, you just need to put an as is sign in front of all those people. Because in your family, I got some news for you, no one in your family's perfect. Thank you for that enthusiastic response. They all come as is. They're not perfect. There's something missing, something wrong. When you get into a connect group, I'm sorry, just let you know, they all come as is. When you go to work, when you go to school, everyone in the world just needs a sign on it, as is. And here's the breaking news, you also are as is. None of us are perfect. We've all got a little bit of dysfunction. Come on, don't look at me so spiritual today. We're all a little bit dysfunctional. We all have some issues. And as soon as we just figure this out, life will get a lot easier. You know, even in the Bible, I don't know if you read the book of Genesis through the eyes of relationships. Let me just give you a quick tour through Genesis as we kick this off. Cain murdered his brother Abel in an angry fit of rage, first family. Noah, the most righteous person on earth, got drunk. Lot offered his virgin daughters to the men of Sodom. Later, his daughters got their father drunk and impregnated by him. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob played favorites with their children, causing all kinds of family problems. Reuben slept with his father's concubine. Judah slept with his daughter-in-law, who was disguised as a prostitute. This is all in the Bible. And guess what? This is the godly line. This is the godly line. It reads like a script from Days of Our Lives. These people need a therapist. They all come as is. But you know what's amazing? God actually used all of them. Despite the fact none of them were perfect, they all came as is. They all needed some help. None of them were normal, yet God worked through them. You know, some of you are feeling better about your family already, just as I kind of read that. You're just going, you know, we're actually doing okay. None of us are normal. We've all got our challenges and our issues. And so today and next weekend, I want to talk to you about how to get along with people. And we're going to look at the life of Jesus. I think, you know, when we read the Gospels, we look at the teachings of Jesus. They're amazing. We look at the healings and the miracles of Jesus. They're phenomenal. But I want us today and next week just to look at the life of Jesus and just watch how he relates to people in this world who come as is. And we're going to do a master's degree. Maybe you always wanted to do a master's degree. We're going to do a master's degree in relationships. We're going to look at the master. We're going to look at Jesus and see how did he relate to all the people in the world who aren't normal, who all come as is, who are all a bit dysfunctional. How did Jesus relate to people? And we're going to draw some skills and some lessons and some wisdom on how to get along with people in our world. How's that sound, all right? You know I'm going to do that anyway, but I thought I'd just check with you. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word tonight, thank you that the Bible is inspired. It's God-breathed, and it has so much insight and wisdom and understanding for our lives, including our relationships. And so for everyone in the room tonight, those listening online, as we think about our families, our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods, our connect groups, our churches, Lord, we all come as is. Help us to learn from Jesus how to get along with people and actually enjoy the process. In Jesus' wonderful name, everyone said amen. Amen. We're going to look at a couple of skills this week and then a few more next week. So number one, the first thing we learn from Jesus is simply the power of accepting people. Accepting people. Paul picks this up in Romans 15, verse 7. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. How did Christ accept you? How does Jesus accept people? We're to accept people in the same way that Jesus accepted people. If you read the Gospels, you'll notice that Jesus treated people in a certain way. Regardless of their status in society, regardless of whether they had titles or certain roles or money or wealth, whether they were on the margins, whether they were outcasts, Jesus just had a way of accepting people as is. You know, I think if we're honest, we all have a bit of a rating scale when we connect with people, kind of a 1 to 10. And this is how it works. You treat people based on the value that you place on them. And so if we've got a 1 to 10, if you meet someone after church today and in your mind they're a 10, how are you going to treat them? You're going to go, hey, how you going? Good to see you. Because they're a 10, that's the way you treat them. If you see someone after church today and they're kind of a 6 on your scale, it's, hey, how's it going? I see you. If you see someone who's a 2, it's, hey. And if you see someone who's a -4, you're heading the other way. You're not even going to make eye contact. We treat people based on the value that we put on them. Here's the deal. Jesus put a 10 on everyone. Jesus put a 10 on everybody. One day the disciples were with Jesus and they're heading off to a meeting and these kids start running up to Jesus. And the big 12, these are the church leaders of the future, go, hey, get those kids out of here. See, they didn't put a 10 on children. But Jesus rebuked them and said, hey, let the kids come. Actually, if you don't become like a child, you'll never enter the kingdom. See, Jesus put a 10 on children. Another day, they're off to another meeting, and there's a blind man interrupting the meeting. Jesus, Son of David! They say, would you shut up? We've got ministry to do. Jesus rebuked the big 12 and said, let that man come. See, Jesus puts a 10 on people on the margins, people who are outcasts, people whose society does not value. Jesus puts a 10 on everybody. Imagine if you could just change the label you've put on people in your world. Imagine if you could just treat people as if they are a 10, even though you know they come as is. See, acceptance doesn't mean approval, but acceptance is incredibly powerful. We read about this in Luke 19, actually. Jesus is rocking into Jericho, and in Jericho, there's a man named Zacchaeus, and he's a tax collector. And in those days, tax collectors were some of the most hated people amongst the Jewish people because tax collectors worked for the Roman government, extracting taxes from their own people and charging extra and getting rich, getting wealthy through ripping off their own community. And so they were the most hated, the most despised people in society. So Jesus rocks into Jericho. He's walking down the street. He's obviously heard of Zacchaeus' reputation. He sees Zacchaeus. He says, hey, Zacchaeus, let's do lunch today. So Jesus puts a 10 on everybody. And so you could hear the rumors. You could hear people talking. Doesn't Jesus know who he is? You could hear the murmuring and the grumbling. Oh, why isn't Jesus having lunch with me? You know, you could just feel the tension in the air. So Jesus went off to Zacchaeus' house. They're having lunch. In the middle of the lunch with no organ playing, no altar call, Zacchaeus jumps up to his feet, says, today I'm giving half of my goods to the poor. And anyone I've ripped off, I'm going to pay back 4 times. Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house. Now, question, did Zacchaeus change and then Jesus had lunch with him? No. Jesus had lunch with him as is, just as he was. And his powerful acceptance of Zacchaeus led to a transformation in his life. What would it look like for us as a Christian community just to accept people as Jesus did? I still remember at City Life, my last church, just being in the foyer after a meeting a few years ago, and this guy came up. He was obviously visiting, and his opening line was, "Hey, I used to be a Muslim. I'm now an atheist, but I really enjoyed your talk tonight." I don't know if he was trying to shock me, but I just shook his hand. I said, "Hey, great to meet you. Muslims and atheists are welcome at our church." Anyway, about 6 weeks later, I was in the foyer again. And there he was, big smile. He came up and said, "Hey, you're still here. How's it going?" He says, "I'm a Christian now." I said, "Fantastic. Christians are welcome at our church." You know, the Pharisees' attitude to people was, when you get your act together, then you can come and hang with us. Jesus' activity, Jesus' approach was, there's no fences, there's no barriers. Come as you are and let my grace change you. What a difference it would make in our world, in our relationships, if we just accepted people the way Jesus accepted us. How did Jesus accept you? Did he wait till you got your life together? No. You're still getting your life together like mine. He loved us before. Yeah, Paul's saying you accept people in the same way. Doesn't mean you're approving of what they believe or doing or whatever, but you're treating them as someone of value. So powerful, so incredibly amazing. If we could simply accept people the way Jesus did. Can I have an amen on that one? Amen. Number two, second thing we learn from Jesus' relationships is the unbelievable impact you have when you choose to listen to people. Relationships are developed, built, and maintained through communication. And communication isn't just talking like I am tonight. It's through interaction and listening and feedback and conversation. And Jesus, although he had so much to say, he was the Word in human form, was incredibly good at asking questions, drawing people out, and listening. He said to his disciples one day, who do people say that I am? When Jesus asks a question, he's not looking for information. It's not like, "Hey, I've forgotten my name. Who am I again?" No. Who do people say that I am? Who do you think that I am? We see this right back in Genesis. God's walking through the garden and says, "Adam, where are you?" How many know God's not looking for information? It's not like, "Anyone seen Adam? I just made those humans. I've lost them already." No, when God asks the question, it's about drawing us out. See, Adam needed to think about where he was and why he was hiding. And so Jesus had this unbelievable ability to ask questions and to listen. God is an incredibly attentive God. He pays attention to our life. In fact, in one verse, Jesus says, the actual hairs on your head are numbered. For some of us, that's an easier task than others. But God knowing the number of your hairs, it's got nothing to do with his mathematical computing ability. It's about his attention to the very tiny details of your life. God loves you, and love listens, love pays attention. Jesus' brother, James, observed Jesus, and later on he wrote a letter, and he said this in James 1, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this." Where did he learn this from? From Jesus. "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Everyone should be quick to listen. James would have observed Jesus, and although he had so much to say, he was always listening. A blind man rocks up to Jesus, and Jesus goes, what would you like me to do for you? Duh. It's like, Jesus assumed nothing. He was unbelievable at asking questions and listening to what people were thinking and feeling and what they wanted. James says this, "Hey, how many know naturally we're quick to speak and slow to listen?" Isn't it interesting we've got two ears and one mouth? Wouldn't it be weird if we had two mouths and one ear? Could sing a duet, I guess, then together. But we'd be pretty unusual creatures with two mouths and one ear. No, we've got one mouth and two ears. You know why? So we should listen twice as much as we speak. Learning to listen. When you listen, you give it a phenomenal gift to the person you are relating to. The trouble is, by nature, we're not natural good listeners. I know this by experience. And all of us develop bad habits, like being inattentive when someone's talking, preoccupied, our mind is someone else. My daughter would say, "Dad, you're not listening to me." Have you ever seen those TV screens with the ticker tape at the bottom? You ever seen the news ticker tape? You know, my brain, if you could see it, has a ticker tape at the bottom and the top and the sides. I don't know if it's ADD or what you want to call it, but when someone's talking, I've got all these ideas and thoughts happening. And that's the challenge when someone's talking. Often we're not really listening because we're thinking about what we're going to say next, or that comment by them triggers, "Oh, and let me tell you about my story," or we jump in to give some advice or fix their problem, or, you know, we're just waiting for our turn to speak, kind of quit talking while I'm trying to interrupt. And so one of the challenges with listening is we all develop these bad skills of inattentiveness, interrupting, finishing people's sentences for them. Come on, waiting to speak, jumping to conclusions, giving advice. And so it takes discipline to develop the good habits of looking at someone's eyes and giving them full attention. Waiting your turn to speak. Listening carefully. You know, I met Leah before the service, and some people say, "Well, how do you learn people's names?" It's actually pretty simple. You know what we tend to do when you meet someone for the first time? You go, "Hi, what's your name?" And while they're saying their name, guess what? We're thinking of our next question. And so we miss their name. That's kind of like saying, "Throw me the ball," and then looking away. Just hit you in the head. "Leah, great to meet you." I met Z over here tonight. I asked him what he did. He says, "He's an astronaut." And then he told me he's an accountant. I said, "You're a creative accountant." He said, "No, there's no room for creativity in accountancy." But you know, when we meet somebody, when we go, "Hi, what's your name?" Often we're not listening. We've got to catch that. "Leah, great to meet you. Tell me a little bit about yourself." Jesus called people by name. Notice he said Zacchaeus. He didn't go, "Hey, little guy. Hey, bro. Hey, you in the tree. Hey, Zacchaeus." People love their name. Learning to listen, learning to pay attention, learning to ask questions to draw people out. You know, don't want to get into stereotypes, but one of the number one complaints about men is that men don't listen. And when they do listen, they quickly put on their Mr. Fix-It cap and try to bring solutions. Guys, if you're married, let me give you a little tip. Women don't want solutions. They simply want to be heard. They don't want your three ideas about what they could do, should do, might do. They just want to be heard. They want to be listened to. Come on, ladies, I'm trying to help you here. Guys, we often just ignore, or we listen for a few beats, assess it, jump on in, and give the solution. No. People want to be heard. They don't just want to be fixed or seen as a problem to solve. And so one of the great gifts you can give in your relationships is not only to accept people, but to listen to them. Let's go a little deeper and look at our third skill from Jesus, and this is to be empathetic, not pathetic, empathetic. Listening is at one level, empathy is at a deeper level, where we look beneath the surface, the exterior, to the heart, to the internal. Empathy means to feel with, empathos, to feel with somebody, to stand in their shoes and know what it is like to be them. Jesus not only listened to words, he listened to heart. And there's an amazing example of this in John 4. We won't read the whole story, but you've probably heard it before. Jesus is at a well, and he's hungry, and he's tired, and there's a woman there, and they start a little conversation, and it's kind of surface, newsy, weather, sport, water, well, Jacob, history, and they have this conversation, and eventually Jesus goes a little deeper with this woman, and he sees that beneath the surface, here's a woman who still hasn't found what she's looking for. She's been married 5 times and has had 5 broken relationships. She's now living with a guy who's not her husband. Here's a woman with a trail of broken relationships. Can you imagine the hurt? Can you imagine the pain? Can you imagine the shame in that culture? Jesus doesn't condemn her. Jesus goes right to the heart and realizes here's a woman who's deeply thirsty, longing for something she hasn't found. And through this conversation with Jesus, her life is literally transformed. She goes back to the town and tells the whole city, come meet a man who told me everything I've ever done. You know, to listen is one thing, to be empathetic, to hear someone's story is a powerful gift in your relationships. It requires us not only to pay attention, but to slow down, to look, to listen, to observe, to see through their eyes. I heard a powerful story that illustrates this. It's almost like a paradigm shift. There's this businessman, and he gets on the train, and it's a busy work day. The carriage is pretty full, and he's sitting down, manages to get a seat. He's got a newspaper, and he's pretty engrossed in getting ready for work that day. And as they stop at the next stop, someone leaves the seat next to him, and another man comes in and sits down next to him and just kind of flops and crosses his arms, and he has two kids with him. And as they take off to the next station, these kids are just running riot up and down the station, and up and down the cabin, the train, and kind of pulling people's papers and playing chasey and making noise. And as this businessman sitting here reading his paper, just looking at the man next to him, who's obviously his dad or a relative, and he's just totally ignoring what's going on. His eyes are closed, he's slouched, and you can feel the tension in the train. As everyone's looking around, like, whose kids are these? Or why doesn't this man discipline them? Like, no one wants to say it, but everyone's thinking it. And this businessman, eventually the anger got to a point. He said, excuse me, sir, do you see these kids? They're running riot in the train. Why don't you do something? And the man kind of came out of what seemed like a stupor, and he said to this businessman, he says, oh, I'm so sorry. We just came from the hospital where their mother died, and I don't really know what to do, and I guess they don't either. The businessman said in that moment, everything changed. Instead of feeling anger and annoyance, I was overwhelmed with compassion. I said, your wife just died? I am so sorry. Is there anything we can do to help? Talk about a paradigm shift. See, you know what? Everyone has a story. And right now, they may be annoying you. Right now, they may be irritating you. But you know what? They've probably got a story. You'll find that hurt people often hurt people. And empathy isn't to ignore what's happening, but empathy means to put yourself in the other person's shoes, and what would it feel like to be them? Unbelievable gift in your relationships if you can not only accept, not only listen, but try to actually see things through other eyes. If through others' eyes. If I were them, how would I feel? What would I see standing in their shoes? Unbelievable gift. Doesn't necessarily mean you agree, but it enables you to understand. And here's the key thing. The root of most relational pain is misunderstanding. There's nothing worse than being misunderstood. And so when we take the time to understand people, what an unbelievable gift we give them. Just understanding our differences, understanding our dysfunctions. As simple as understanding how we give and receive love. I'm sure you've done some teaching here on the love languages. See, in many ways, communicating love and receiving love is like a language. But there are many different languages. See, if I stand up here tonight and go, "Te amo mucho! Te amo mucho! Te amo mucho!" What are you feeling? You're not feeling anything, are you? See, if you were Spanish, you would be feeling so much love right now. Because in Spanish, I was just saying, I love you very much. Te amo mucho. I love you very much. But if you don't speak Spanish, I'm annoying you. Because although I'm saying I love you very much, it's not connecting with you because I'm using a language you don't understand. And so sometimes we're not doing well in our relationships because we think we're saying I love you, but people aren't hearing it. They're just hearing annoyance. And so it really helps in a marriage or a family just to learn, to understand, to have empathy, to see how we give and receive love. There are many different love languages. Five are well known and talked about. One is through encouraging words. Some people's language is through words. Thank you. I really appreciate you. Hey, well done. Words are the language of love. For others, it's serving. Help me serve some gifts. Thirdly is giving gifts. Fourthly is spending time with people, just the gift of time, just your presence. And fifthly is appropriate physical touch. There are many more, but they're five. Encouraging words, serving, gift-giving, spending time, and physical touch. But if we don't know this, if we don't understand our differences, then we can be missing the connection of love. Let's give an example. Let's say there's a married couple, John and Mary. Sorry if John and Mary are here tonight. Let's say John's love language is serving. And so today, all day, he's got his job list and he's out there fixing the gutter and that leaky pipe and he's serving all day. But if Mary's love language is time, she's not feeling very loved today. But he's going, look at all the work I did for you. Just look straight ahead if this relates to you. John's out there doing all this work. I worked overtime. I worked 2 extra days today to raise some more money, to pay them all. You know, John feels like he's saying, I love you. But if Mary's love language is time, she's not feeling very loved because it's not connecting in a way that's meaningful to her. Or maybe we've got Harry and Yvonne. Apologies if Harry and Yvonne is here. And maybe Harry's love language is touch. He loves to hug. He's physical. He's affectionate. But maybe Yvonne's love language is encouraging words. And so they've been married 25 years, and it's not going very well. They go to a counselor, and she's in tears saying, I don't feel like you love me. And he goes, what do you mean? And she says, well, you never tell me. And he goes, I told you 25 years ago. If it changes, I'll let you know. Only kidding. But you know, a lot of families are like that. If you grew up in a family where no one ever said, I love you, he may genuinely feel love for Yvonne, but if once every 25 years he says it and her love language is encouraging words, how many know she's not feeling very loved? And so empathy means to put yourself in the other person's shoes, to feel what they feel, to love and to see things from their perspective. You'll see it in your children. How many know all your kids are different? They just come out. They're wired differently. It's really helpful to know how we give and receive love. One more, and then we'll do some more next week. Number four is to be authentic. Authenticity means to be real, honest, open, transparent, to lower our masks, to let people see us as we really are. Jesus was a phenomenally authentic person. And we shared a bit about this in the Connect sign-up weekend in February, so I'll just review this. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26, and he has his 12 disciples with him. And then he takes three of them. Notice that relationships are spatial. It's a whole message in itself. But Jesus loved the crowd. Then he had 70 disciples. Then he had 12 disciples. Then he had three close disciples. And he had one best friend, John. Although it's John that tells us he's his best friend. So maybe he felt he was the best friend. We don't really know. But notice there's crowd 70, 12, 3, 1. Relationships are spatial. And you need to have the right people in the right space. And some of us have got people too far out that would actually be better close in influencing us than us them. Some of us have got people too close that actually need to be a little bit further out. It's not about value. It's about influence and the positioning of your relationships. Now, Jesus takes three of them, Peter, James, and John, and he says this, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Would you stay here and keep watch with me? Can you see the vulnerability here? This is not Jesus saying, hey guys, it's going to be a little tough, but don't worry, I'll be back in 3 days, I'm going to kick the devil's butt, it's all good. Jesus says, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. Now, notice he's not saying this to the crowd. He's not saying this to the 70 or the 12, he's saying this to three. We all need safe people in our world who can say, how are you doing really? And have got time to be open and honest. But Jesus models authenticity. And can I tell you, the degree of openness in your relationships will determine the level of intimacy in your relationships. I told you this funny story of me having lunch with a pastor a few years back, and we sat down, and he goes, how you doing? I go, awesome. No, I said to him, how you doing? He goes, awesome. I said, fantastic. He started telling me all the good things happening in his life. Then he said to me, how you doing? And I thought, will I say awesome, or will I be honest? And I chose the latter, and I said, actually, it's been a little tough lately. few challenges at home and church. And when I was done, the whole level of the conversation changed. In fact, he said to me, actually, I'm not doing too well either. And we had a very deep, meaningful conversation because we went beyond the awesome, everything's great, to being open and authentic with each other. And this isn't easy. We live in a world of impression management, of image, of mass, of having it all together all the time. This is countercultural. But if we're going to have real relationships, we need to take an example from Jesus about being authentic, being real in the way we relate to each other. Everyone said amen. So as we pause here, two questions for you. Which skill could you benefit from developing a little further right now? Is it accepting people? Is it listening? Is it empathy? Or is it authenticity? Which skill could you just benefit from growing a little bit in this week? That's your first question. My second question is, which relationship needs your attention right now? As I'm talking about relationships and as is and not normal, come on, you see their face. Which relationship? Is it a family relationship? Is it a work? Is it school? Is it connect group? Is it church? Is it a neighbor? Which relationship needs your attention right now? It takes two people to build a great relationship, but how many know one person can influence a relationship? One person. And it's about not being reactive. We're not meant to be thermometers. Thermometers react to the room. If it's warm, the thermometer goes up. If it's cold, the thermometer goes down. No, we're meant to be proactive thermostats that influence the environment. And so how many know in a heated situation, you can cool things down? And in a cool, icy situation, you can warm things up. And so, yes, it takes two people to make a great relationship, but even one person can influence a relationship. And here's a great metaphor. Every relationship is like a bank account. And in that bank account, we make deposits and withdrawals. Deposits, let me tell you, you accept people, you listen to people, you empathize with people, you be authentic, you're making deposits. Every now and then you pull a withdrawal, but how many know if you've got no deposits and the bank account's on empty and you make a withdrawal, things are going to bounce? Come on. Yeah. And so which relationship needs your attention right now? And what about making some deposits? Maybe there's nothing in that bank account. There's nothing there. What deposits could you make this week? What deposit could you make? Because I tell you what, when you made lots of deposits, how many know you can have a bit of a withdrawal, a little bit of an argument? It's not going to ruin everything because you've got some bank balance there. You've got some history with the relationship. And so I encourage you to answer those questions. Which skill could you benefit from developing? And number two, which relationship needs some attention right now? Let's pray. So you close your eyes. Maybe you can see that person right now. Those watching online, same for you. Jesus, we are in awe of you, not just your teaching, not just your miracles and healings, but the way you related to people. And wow, we can learn from you to relate to people in this world. None of us are normal. What is normal anyway? It's just a projection of someone else. We're all a bit as is. We're all a bit dysfunctional. And yet, Jesus, you came into this broken world and you showed us how to really love. Help us to truly accept people, to change the value we place on people and treat people as you treated us. Help us to be better listeners. Help us to slow down enough to be empathetic, to stand in someone else's shoes. Everyone has a story. Maybe we could hear it before judging. And help us to be authentic, to be real, to be open, to pull our masks down and just to be true to who we really are. And Lord, as we all think about that one relationship that just needs a deposit right now, well, we can't control who other people are and how they'll respond, but we can actually affect a relationship by making deposits. And so give us the courage this week to make some deposits in that relationship so that we could not just get along with people, but love people, enjoy people, and as a result, this world will be a better place. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. Don't miss next week for the next exciting episode on how to get along with people from Jesus.